Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk Cannabis Podcast, where we help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in capital markets. I'm Dave Jackson. We're excited to be joined today by Jesse McConnell. He is the CEO of Rubicon Organics, a licensed cannabis producer focused on cultivating and branding certified organic super premium cannabis. Rubicon trades on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol ROMJ. Mr. McConnell is a well-known veteran in the cannabis industry. As an authority with nearly two decades of experience in the cannabis industry, Jesse co-founded the first certified organic federally licensed cannabis facility in Canada. He has an unparalleled network of relationships in the industry and has been involved in the design and licensure of multiple facilities across Canada and the U.S. Jesse's industry experience also includes the development of proprietary, innovative growth techniques to produce high-quality, certified organic cannabis crops. Previous life, Jesse was a university-educated economist and philosopher. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today, Jesse.
Thanks for having me on the show today, David.
My pleasure. So let's start off with Rubicon's recent big news, your announcement that the company has just completed the sale of a 40,000 square foot hybrid greenhouse in Ferndale, Washington for $8.5 million. Can you walk us through the transaction, you know, and what this means for shareholders and potential investors?
Certainly. Well, at Rubicon, we're focused on producing and branding 100% sustainable premium organic cannabis products. And in Canada, there's been a significant undersupply of high-quality products and a really very low brand recognition. Washington had presented an opportunity for us to do this at pilot scale, do our proof of concept, and demonstrate that we could produce that kind of quality product at the cost base that we were expecting to do so. So now that we have done that proof of concept, you know, for us, it was time to exit the U.S. and focus on the Canadian opportunity, which we see as being outsized relative to the Washington one. So for Rubicon shareholders, the Washington transaction really means three things. It means that management is going to be 100% focused on the Canadian opportunity. We'll be putting all of our company's resources into that. It's going to increase our access to tier one banking and presents us with the opportunity to uplist to a more recognized exchange with deeper pools of capital. Now that we'll be operating exclusively in the Canadian landscape. And of course, David, it strengthens our balance sheet.
Well, that's excellent. Now, Rubicon has also just announced a supply agreement with the Ontario Cannabis Stores for the company's Simply Bare Organic Flower. Can you walk us through that, Jesse?
Yeah, at Rubicon Organics, we're committed to building the Simply Bare Organics brand into a national brand. And of course, Ontario is the largest marketplace in Canada. We began our sales here in British Columbia, which is our backyard and therefore the natural place for us to begin and satisfy the demand that we see here. Then we began to move east in Saskatchewan. And before we went into Ontario, we wanted to ensure that we were able to satisfy the demand for our products in those provinces before we moved into the larger eastern marketplaces. And now that our facility is under full production, and we've been able to increase our supply of high quality cannabis and ramp it up to meet the demand in the existing provinces, we've been able to enter into Ontario, and we expect to bring Simply Bare into at least one, if not two or three different marketplaces over the course of the next quarter.
Good stuff. Now, can you update our investor audience on your, and of course your Rubicon shareholders, on any new company developments, you know, especially in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, I mean, to speak specifically to the COVID-19 issues, I mean, obviously a black swan event and the macro environment that very few saw coming, if any. We identified COVID-19 as a macro environmental risk back in February, which was actually quite early relative to what we see here in Canadian public policy and the pace our competitors have reacted. For us, the health and well-being of our employees has always really been our number one priority. So out of an abundance of caution, we started implementing those protocols back in mid-February. And the reason that we did that, David, wasn't even so much to mitigate what we saw the existing risk of COVID-19, but it was to get our employees and our team used to operating under protocols like social distancing, which if I'd asked you in the middle of February what social distancing was, you probably would have responded that you'd never heard of that. Yeah. So this gave us time to really start working, you know, when the viral risk was quite low. And so now it's just become part and parcel of our everyday operational procedures. So that was our first priority. And then the second one, in line with that risk mitigation strategy and with our business continuity planning, our second priority has been cash flow management. You know, the coronavirus pandemic is impacting marketplaces, you know, globally. So thankfully, we have recently completed all of our major CapEx projects at the greenhouse, and we're now under full production capacity. So there's no new major CapEx that we need to do there, which reduces our financing risk. So that risk off strategy has meant that we've allocated more funds to things like working capital and delayed putting capital into future growth initiatives. So to give you a specific example of that, we have a 20-acre parcel of land, which is ideally suited for outdoor production in addition to the 3-acre greenhouse that we have under production on site. And our intention was to put a minimum 10 acres of production in this summer. But when we start looking at the macro environmental risk factors out there, we're going to conduct a smaller research and development grow to ensure that our cash flow is prioritized. Then we can take the research and development intellectual property from that. They're able to optimize for 2020 for an outdoor grow. But I guess the trade-off that we're doing here is, you know, we're going to trade off a little bit of growth earnings to ensure that what we have in our hand today, we can deliver on.
Now, Jesse, you've said that your next generation facility design, when paired with your proprietary certified organic production systems, results in terpene and cannabinoid levels that will be unrivaled in Canada. For investors, what does this really mean?
Well, it means I should probably have my chief marketing officer write the tagline, not my chief scientific officer. But, you know, producing and distributing branded 100% sustainable premium organic cannabis is, you know, with very strong gross margins is the goal at Rubicon. So really, in reference to your question, what I'm saying is that means quality. We're committed to growing the best cannabis on earth, doing it for the earth, and doing that with strong gross margin.
Now, we can't really sugarcoat the fact that 2019 was a rough year in the cannabis space. How has Rubicon positioned itself to ride out the storm and return to profitability in 2020?
Well, you know, a couple of things have worked in our favor, if you can call it that, in light of what's happening globally. You know, at the macro level, cannabis has been deemed an essential service in all of the provinces across Canada. So at our company level, as I mentioned earlier, I really don't foresee it having an impact on the sales of our current portfolio of Simply Bare products. But we've also been laser focused on dialing in our Canadian operations for the last year. You know, while many of our competitors were chasing shiny objects in international markets that are years away from becoming legal or materializing, we doubled down on focusing on the engine of growth for our company, which is making our hybrid greenhouse absolutely sing. So we believe that by optimizing our production of our sustainably grown organic cannabis, you know, we're going to deliver the quality that the consumer demands, and that translates into revenue and into margin. You know, that's where we're going to get the kind of gross margin that investors get excited about. So the startup CapEx and working capital to get these sort of facilities operating properly is actually quite significant. And you've seen that over the course of the last few years, you know, a significant investment into a number of large facilities. Thankfully, the cash flow waterfall that proceeds that startup and working capital is also quite significant. So with all of our significant CapEx projects completed and our facility now fully under production, we will be EBITDA positive this year.
Good stuff. Now, despite the stock valuation downturn in the sector, which, you know, many investors, of course, are aware of, Rubicon has reported there's currently a 40 to 50% price premium for your super premium cannabis products and an additional 25 to 50% price premium for organic products in Canada. Now, this is a market that Rubicon Organics is now well positioned to serve. How can you achieve this kind of profitable market position, Jesse?
Let me divide the answer into two parts. One part is about the product, and the second part is about designing your business operations appropriately. So we operate in the premium segment of the market. You know, growing legal cannabis is already difficult enough, but growing great legal cannabis is even that much more so difficult. There are very few LPs out there that can match the quality of our products, and there are no LPs in your organic segment that can. So this creates a very defensible moat for us, for our product portfolios. And the second component of that is we built our operations appropriately for the size of the market opportunity. And by having the right size from the facility from the outset, we don't have the large overheads and burn rates that many of our competitors have. You hear out there about the downsizing or the, what they like to call right-sizing of their operations, the closing of some of these really large-scale facilities, the posting of multiple $100 million losses. We're not doing that because we built – we're the tortoise and the hare. So we took it slow and steady. We're building to suit. And now that we're fully under production and, you know, we're already sold out of our inventory on a month-over-month basis, then we're going to look to growth in the future. So slow and steady wins the race for us, David.
Now, Jesse, being a brand-focused cannabis company means you're part of one of the most competitive sectors in the cannabis space. Now, what really separates Rubicon from the competition?
Well, it is a competitive space, but there is no debate here that the cannabis opportunity is tremendous, and the size of the addressable market is huge. And I think we've been hearing that for quite some time because it's true. And our the month-over-month sales at the national level here in Canada, we're already looking at a run rate approaching $2 billion in retail sales, and every month they seem to exceed the month before. So the real question for investors isn't, is there a market? It's which management teams have the experience and have the capability, you know, to deliver on a product that consumers want and to do so with strong margins. Maybe to the chagrin of our investors, we haven't been focused on IR programs. We've been focused on fundamentals. We've been focused on, you know, if you want to convert products into dollars, the consumer is the judge. They like their your product, they will continue to buy and you'll create brand loyalty. If they don't, they will not. It's a very simple equation like that. So we've only had our cultivation license for 1 year. We've already have our entire facility under production. We've secured multiple provincial sales agreements, and we've been able to go directly to the consumer with branded product versus our competitors that typically sell wholesale for 12 to 18 months before they're able to achieve a sales amendment and be able to sell direct to consumer. So how are we able to do those things? It's because we built a team that's got decades of combined experience in consumer packaged goods. They come from such companies as Red Bull and Diageo, you know, large consumer packaged good companies who have operated in the premium segment. We've built our team around innovation and around premium. These are people who have launched Johnny Walker Blue Label into new marketplaces. Those are the kind of analogous positions that translate into what we're trying to do here in cannabis, which is new, which is innovative. It's in a new market, and it's highly regulated. Me personally, I've been involved in the cannabis industry for longer than I care to mention. I co-founded Whistler Medical, which was one of the early federally legal cannabis facilities. It was the first ever federally legal certified organic cannabis facility, and we sold that to Aurora last year for $175 million. So we have the experience in the agriculture, we have it in the cannabis legacy, and we built a very strong management team around there who understands CPG and who understands premium marketing. And we've tied all of that together so that everybody inside of our company is aligned and incentivized in the same way that you are if you're a common shareholder. And I think that's critical to the success of the company. So that the company's success is everybody's success.
Value and opportunity. Now, these are industry catchphrases that really get the attention of cannabis sector investors, Jesse. What can you tell them that makes your company so intriguing and attractive?
You know, I would again implore investors to look at Rubicon Organics' management team and the facility that we've built and compare that to what else is out there. Oh, and it doesn't take a lot of analysis to understand that what is required for Rubicon to be an extremely profitable and successful business is approximately 2 to 3% of aggregate market share. That's a very achievable number, David. if you're looking to that, you need to sell, you know, 40,000 or 50,000 or 60,000 kilos in a marketplace that looks like 200 plus thousand kilos right now. Those are big market share numbers, and that's a lot of burn and a lot of spend in order to get to profitability and break even. We're well below those numbers because we're focused in that high margin premium space. I'd also implore you to go out and speak to the retail stores, talk to the bud tenders, or even just spend time on social media or cannabis review sites like Lyft or Reddit, and you will find consumers giving rave reviews about our product quality. One of my favorite things every day is I usually get one or two texts from a retail store owner who sends me a JPEG or a picture, a screen capture of one of his customers who's it just opened our Creek Congo or our Blue Dream and said how the aromas and smells are magnificent. And oh, finally, this is what I've been waiting for cannabis. And we hear that time and time again. So once you've won over the consumer's hearts, it's also important for investors to know that management is fundamentally aligned with shareholders. And you've seen a number of companies where there's been a lot of senior management turnover, often with lucrative exit packages. Our management team sounds like a sore spot there, David. We've seen a lot of that for sure. But our management team is fundamentally different than that. This is not just an extension of our work. This is an extension of myself. Our management team and our insiders hold approximately 50% of this company. And as a single largest shareholder in Rubicon, I am incentivized in the exact same way as retail investors. And that is to build something that is phenomenal, that's going to have a increasing share price.
Well, finally, Jesse, what can you tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of your stock today and why it's a good value buy right now?
David, I have a question for you. Have you ever asked a CEO that question and had them respond that it's not a good value
Absolutely
buy right now?
Absolutely not. Never before in my 35 plus years in the news and information business. No, but it's a fair question. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I certainly do. And thanks for the opportunity to speak to it. Look, the entire sector has seen valuation decline significantly. We've seen some of the leading LPs decline, on a year-to-date basis, nearly 80 to 90%. That's really quite something. So Rubicon's share price on a relative basis is actually, I believe, the top performing cannabis stock in the last 52 weeks for the cultivation LPs and in the top three overall. Those are the capital markets. But more importantly, we have outsized demand for our product. We cannot keep up with what the provinces are asking for from us. We've just opened up Ontario, which is the largest market in Canada. We're going to be opening up additional provincial marketplaces this quarter and into next. And, very importantly, we're going to be cash flow positive this year. And not a lot of cannabis companies are going to be able to make that claim. So we've got the right team, the right size facility. We have a product that we cannot keep on the shelves. And don't ask me, go out and ask the consumer, go out and ask the retail stores. And we won't have financing risk here by the end of the year as we become cash flow positive.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon, Jesse. It's been absolutely a wonderful discussion. We've been speaking once again with Jesse McConnell. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Rubicon Organics. I'd like once again to thank Jesse for joining us and sharing this helpful and insightful information about Rubicon with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Cannabis Podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.